May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, God, my rock, my saviour, my Lord. Amen. So today's friends, we're focused, if you haven't already worked it out, on the love of God. The love God has for Jesus. And that same love is promised to each one of us. Later we're going to celebrate Greg's reaffirmation of baptism as an infant. And that's brought about because of God's great love for Greg. We're also going to celebrate God's outrageous love for each of us as we share the communion meal together, reminding each of us that God has placed love in our hearts, reminding us of the commitments we've made to follow Jesus. Today we're also reminded, as Roz told us, that this is the 46th anniversary of the Uniting Church in Australia. Having affirmed God's call to be one and to unity because of God's great love in Jesus, this movement of the Spirit came into being in 1977. Joe read from the prophet Ezekiel. And in today's passage, Ezekiel follows God's instruction to take two sticks, one symbolizing the nation of Judah and the other symbolizing the nation of Ephraim. And God, the sovereign Lord, says to Ezekiel, when you take those sticks, when you do this before the people, and I'll quote from Ezekiel, I will make them into a single stick of wood, and they will become one in my hand, says God. I will make a covenant of peace with them, he says. It will be an everlasting covenant. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Friends, this is the old covenant for the people and the nation of Israel. However, it is fulfilled in the new covenant made in Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen. For the Jewish people and all people, what the Bible speaks of as Gentiles, are made one in Christ. It is because of this new covenant that the three founding denominational leaders came together and determined, with the agreement of the members, to form a movement of the Spirit to be known as the Uniting Church in Australia. The gospel passage that Annie read from John 17 is the heart of today's message. Indeed, it comes from the heart of God through Jesus. He prays for all the people on the way, those who believe or will believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. And we come to God the Father only through Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, it's a bit convoluted, this passage in John's Gospel, so we'll try and take it slowly. And if you've got your Bibles, it might even help to have them open at John 17. First, Jesus prays to the Father that we would be one. That's pretty straightforward. That we are one. That all who believe are one. That same oneness that he has with the Father, that is, the Father in Jesus and Jesus in the Father, he prays, may they also be in us. That's profound. God the Father, Jesus the Son, may they also be in us, in you and me. So by extension, this oneness, the Father in Jesus and Jesus in the Father, all believers in them, one because of them, all by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'll say amen to that, Wendy.
And I'll say hallelujah.
Second, Jesus prays that the world may believe that the Father sent Jesus. So the Father in us and Jesus in us and we in them is not just about us. It's about so much more. It's about that the world will believe that the Father sent Jesus the Son through us, the believers, because of our oneness. That's what the world needs to see. In the passage talks about glory. My understanding of glory is that Jesus is the glory of God. He says, I have given them, he's saying to the Father, I have given them my glory, the glory that you gave me. He repeats it. I in them and you in me. To bring us to complete unity. And why? So that the world may know that the Father sent the Son and that the Father loves us even as he loved Jesus. Ros said it a little bit in our prayers of confession this morning. Sometimes we don't feel we deserve that love. But we hear it time and time again. That's what grace is all about. We don't have to deserve it. God gives it. God said of Jesus when the dove descended on him when he was being baptized, this is my son. And he was delighting in Jesus. And Jesus hadn't started his ministry. His ministry was about to begin. Jesus hadn't done a thing except grow up as a boy of a carpenter and visit the temple. And God says, this is my beloved son. He delighted in him. And that's what God does with you, each one of you, and me, and all those that believe. God delights in you. God loves you. And God places that love that he has for Jesus, that same love, in your hearts and mine. So here's the amazing promise of God, that the love of God the Father has for Jesus is promised to you and I. And all who do or will believe in Jesus. When I pray for our niece who's pregnant at the moment, Heather, and I pray for that little one that's being fearfully and wonderfully made and formed in her womb that God sees and created and creates, I know that the love of God in Jesus is going to be placed in that little one's heart, even in the womb. She is one who will believe. Well, I don't know whether it's a she or a he. Maybe that's prophetic, Ros. We'll see. But you can pray like that. You can be certain of that, that God's love in Jesus is going to be placed in the hearts of those little ones. Jesus repeats his promise in the final verse of today's passage. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known. That's important too. It's not the subject of this sermon, but will continue to make you known. So if we do our bit, love one another, move in oneness, share what the gospel means to us, Jesus is going to continue to make himself known.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In order that the love that you have for me, this is Jesus to the Father, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and I myself may be in them.
Hallelujah.
Right on, sister. an amazing, precious promise of grace of God. An amazing, precious promise of the grace of God through Jesus. God's outrageous love in us who believe and all those who will ever believe. No wonder the Apostle Paul could say, without a shadow of a doubt and with complete confidence in faith, for I am convinced that nothing will be able to separate us from this love that God has in Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing. Friends, that's nothing. Nothing in all creation, no powers, no authorities, not even death itself can separate you and I and those we love and those who love Jesus from God's love in Jesus placed in your heart, placed in our very souls. So there's no point doing an exegesis of the reading without saying, so what does this mean? What does it mean for us? What are we called to do with this great grace gift of love? That could be the subject of many sermons, and I'm sure Glenda will preach some. But I just want to return to what Annie read from Hebrews 13, just the first three verses she read. And the first verse says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, as a family with pure affection for each other. Some of you will know that I use the term Marakupmeri to sign salutations and blessings in my emails and some of my letters. It means deep affection. Love shared as gurutu, as family. The family of God, for that is what we are, God's beloved ones. The scripture continues in those short three verses and it says to us, show hospitality to strangers. So by implication, don't just show hospitality to your friends. That's easy. Show hospitality to strangers. That's more challenging. We use that passage time and time again when we were talking about refugees and advocating for refugees in detention. Because the Old Testament, you'll remember, uses the word aliens in the same way that strangers is used in this passage. Welcome the alien. Show hospitality to strangers. Remember with love those in prison as if you were in there with them. That's what love is. That's what compassion is. To feel with, not just for. So we can look at somebody that's down and out and feel for them. That's empathy. Compassion is feeling with. That's why the Greek gives you that image of a gut ache. Remember those in prison as if you were in there with them. Also, love with compassion those who are mistreated, as if you yourself were suffering. And what came to my mind as I was thinking about this sermon in terms of suffering and what then came into my heart and my gut is refugees, the people in the Sudan, the Ukraine, and the starving children of Africa. It's an absolute disgrace that in a wealthy world that dumps grain in the ocean because we've got too much, the children of Africa continue to starve. Now I know there's other things that'll come to your minds and hearts and guts as you love with compassion those that are suffering. For this and so much more is the love of God. the love of God for all God's people, the love of God for his world, the love of God for the whole of creation. We live as a people of hope because we know that the promise is that Jesus is going to reconcile and renew the whole of creation. And that work has begun and we're called to it. And this is the love that now lives in you and me, that the world may know that Jesus lives and that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Hallelujah.
Amen.